Welcome to Turkey Crossing, everyone. This is Paul Bogish, and thank you for stopping by to hang out with me while we talk about how to get our kids to solve problems, collaborate, create, innovate, dialogue, and get their imaginations cranking, all while using Classroom 2.0 tools and not forgetting that the most important thing in the world is not an online connection, but a teacher-student connection. So relax, close your eyes, unless you're driving, eating, or skydiving, and open your mind for another edition of Turkey Crossing. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Turkey Crossing. This is Paul Bogish, and it's a gorgeous morning. This is like my favorite temperature. It's probably somewhere just above 40 degrees. Still warm enough for me, at least, to throw on a pair of shorts and just have to bundle up on the upper half. There is no moon out. Oh, by the way, it's 5:30 in the morning. There's no moon out, so you can see all the stars. There's a couple planets that are out this morning. I'm assuming they're planets, because they're not usually there, and they're incredibly bright. Absolutely gorgeous morning. What I want to talk about today is I had a meeting with the parents about 3 weeks ago. It was on the third day of school, to discuss with them all of the 2.0 tools I was going to utilize and their kids were going to use in the classroom this year. And if you've listened to some of the other podcasts, after having some concerns last year, I thought that this would be the best thing to just get everybody on board right away, before anybody had any kind of misconceptions fester in their head and then basically blow up. And by the time that happens, you know, there's no bringing people down. Everyone is stuck in their corner and I think a little less willing to hear the truth behind some of their ideas and, you know, harder to bring aboard. So what I ended up doing, and don't tell the union, since somebody would probably get mad, is I decided to have a meeting at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and another one at 6. And again, try to get as many people there as possible. And there was a good turnout for both of them. My room has 28 seats in it, and for the first meeting there is probably about 5 empty, and for the second meeting I'm pretty sure every single one was filled, you know, with the exception of the couple that were right behind the projector. This meeting had been driving me crazy in a very good way for, well, ever since the end of, I guess, last June when I decided to have it. As far as I know, I'm really the first person in the district to really be combining, you know, wikis and podcasts and blogs and making it a part of, I don't want to say everyday classroom life, but in some way, I mean, at least this year, in some way, every single day my kids have been using or exposed to the wiki and the blogs. We're going to start using the podcasts this week. And I felt as though I had more writing on this meeting than any other meeting I've ever had before in my life, because if one person walked out of there not believing that this is the right thing to do, or I guess, you know, I'll come right out and say, I think the number one thing that was on my mind is if one person thought that I was in some way endangering their kid, this whole thing was over. And not only does it end up being over for me, but it ends up being over for anybody else in the district that wants to do it. Because again, and I'm sure it's similar to other places, you know, it's really that one parent complaint to, you know, the superintendent, really. You know, even if the principal backs you up, it's that one complaint to headquarters, and they don't take the time to see what's going on, and their first reaction is usually shut it down. And, you know, I could be absolutely and totally wrong there. Maybe I would be really surprised and they would all support me. But, you know, when the public perception behind this stuff is that they're so dangerous, I mean, I think that is, I don't know, and again, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like most people around here, when they hear about these tools, immediately, or maybe not immediately, but one of the first things that comes into their mind is, my child is not going to be safe using them. So I knew that that was the biggest hurdle. Convincing people that they work, convincing people that they're worthwhile, convincing people that, you know, the world is changing and we're changing in the direction in which we're going to need to know how to use these things and the skills that, and, you know, you know where I'm going with that. So I'm just going to stop there. So I knew that was going to come up at some point. So I went into this intensive period of study over the summer, more intense than I'd ever been in my entire life. I really think that's true. I know probably in the 2 months over the summer, I spent more time researching this than I probably had spent doing work for my master, for my six-year degree, which I had completed over the summer as well. And so finally the day came. Let me skip ahead here. Let's stop getting bogged down in the emotional side of this and how I was so stressed out. I'll skip that part. And so finally the day arrived and the parents came in for the 4 o'clock session, and I actually did record it. And you know, I'm considering whether or not to put it up there. It's kind of interesting. Well, I'll skip that part too. But I did record it, just so next year I can kind of go through and listen to it. And all right, ready? Let me get right to the point. So the 4 o'clock session started, and I was pretty darn nervous because, again, I was wondering, you know, what's that question that was going to be asked that I couldn't handle? And it went pretty well. I think, I'm pretty sure no one left disgruntled. I'm pretty sure nobody left angry. I think some people left confused, but I'll call it a good confusion, a confusion of, you know, if you have, the meeting was slated for an hour, met for an hour, and then basically, you know, I said, if you got some place to go, please go. And we all kind of totally left an hour and a half in, after starting. A lot of people stuck around for questions and that sort of thing. And I hope that even those people that were confused in a way in which, you know, if you're not familiar with technology and computers, I don't know if you can really go into exactly what a wiki and blog is in an hour. I think there are still some people that walked out not knowing exactly what they were. And looking back, I don't know if I could have, if I tried to squeeze in more, I think it would have been a less effective meeting because it would have just been too technical, too detailed. So I'm actually going to have a second parent meeting and coming up in a couple of weeks. And that one there is going to be more of the nuts and bolts. You know, you're a parent, you want to get a wiki for personal and business use, let's get it open. You want to start blogging by yourself or with us, let's get you a blog. You want to give a shot at podcasting, let's put one up there right now. So I think that would help with some of the parents who are still a little fuzzy on how these things work. But all right, I digress again. Let's get right to the meeting. I'm going to try to just go through this, what I did, without any real commentary, because I don't want this to last for an hour and a half. I'll try not to give you a minute-by-minute breakdown of what we did, but just give you a summary in case you're interested and having a similar meeting, because again, I think that this order of events was pretty good. All right. The very first thing all the parents saw were, I have 3 or 4 quotes, and I did this all with the projector up on the screen. There was 3 or 4 quotes, and unfortunately, I don't remember exactly what they were, but they're all, you know, aimed at why this stuff is good in the classroom, but didn't necessarily say blog, wiki, podcast. And the last quote was actually from my wife, and the day before this meeting, we were sitting on a beach looking out at the great Long Island Sound, and I said, all right, let me just run through you what I'm going to do with the meeting. And of course, she played the part of asking me all the tough questions. And at some point, she turned to me and said, you can't get defensive, otherwise you're going to look like a cocky blank, 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 blank. And, you know, I didn't realize it, but I was. My body posture had changed, my tone of voice had changed, and in trying to defend why these were neat tools. And what I realized is that I had kind of become one with my presentation and my love and passion for this stuff, so that whenever someone asked me a question, or if they were going to ask me a question about using them, or if someone was going to come across and say, you know, with a negative sort of question, that I was no longer separating myself. It was almost like they were attacking me. So I put that quote up there, and we had a nice little chuckle, and I told him to give me a signal if I was getting defensive, and I think that worked out well during the night. So whenever a parent asked a question which could lead me in that direction, you know, I said out loud, you know, please, if I get defensive, let me know, and I think that worked out well. All right, but I digress. I'm again commenting, and I wanted to just go through the meeting. The very first thing I showed was the commercial a lot of you are probably familiar with. And by the way, if you want to see any of this stuff, it's on a wiki, and the wiki is morecowbell.wikispaces.com. morecowbell.wikispaces.com. So all the videos I'm talking about are there. It's all there. On the left, I think it's called Final Presentation. That's where all of this is under. So I started off with a commercial from Cisco, and it's the one that's the Whole New World commercial, which a lot of people are familiar with, and it ends with, what's the quote? We're all part of a new network, the human network. And I think it's a really cool commercial because, you know, it shows everyone connecting. But again, no commentary, just what I did. All right, here we go. After that commercial, talked about just why are we here? Why did I bother getting everybody in here, running these two sessions? You know, what's the point? And then from there, we went over very simply, why should we be using technology? We talked about, and again, I'm using we, it was me talking. I know sometimes teachers will say, I had a discussion with my class, and it's just them up front lecturing. It was just me kind of saying, you know, here's some of the trends in the world, here's how the world is changing. It was not a big, you know, it was literally 2 minutes sort of thing. And then I showed the Shift Happens video, which obviously, if you're listening to this and you're listening to podcasts, you're probably familiar with that video, Carl Fish video. And after that, I flashed up a list of, maybe it was before the video, after the video, I don't remember. I flashed up a list of skills that are from, I can't remember the name of it. It's from Partnership for 21st Century Business Skills. Maybe that's it. And they go through, you know, here are the skills that are going to be necessary to survive in the 21st century. They interviewed 440 people that do the hiring. What are they called? Human resource managers. And, you know, what would we like to see more of in our hirees? today? What do we want to see more of in the future? And again, I even said when I put it up there that I'm not putting this up here long enough for you to read every single one, but just to kind of glance through and get an idea of the skills that businesses and entrepreneurs say kids need. And, you know, obviously you know what's currently being taught in schools, and there's a little bit of a void between them. And at that point, too, I also brought up, I can't remember, I should have had, it's hard to have notes here, but who was it that said it, the computers and the technology and all this stuff is the pen and paper of the 21st century. And I kind of held up the pen and the paper and textbook and said, you know, these are the tools that we're using for the last who knows how many years, and these are not the tools that are being used in businesses in the future. So after that, that was the point of that part of the presentation was just to simply say, you know what, the world is changing, and schools have to change along with them, and we can't keep using the same stuff, otherwise we're preparing them for all these, you know, old-time jobs and skills that are no longer needed. And again, I'm going to try not to go, I feel the need to go into all the details of what I did, but I'm not. I'm going to push forward here. You ready? After that, I decided to just do, here's some nuts and bolts, wiki, blog, podcast stuff. You know, I showed that Common Craft video on what is a wiki. And, you know, it's a cool video. It's 4 minutes long, maybe, and gives people a good overview of exactly what a wiki is. When the video was over, I talked about how kids have used wikis at the end of last year in a similar way to that Common Craft video. I flashed up our class wiki up on the screen and went through some of the things quickly. Of course, the question came up about, you know, if it's editable, aren't people going to go in and, you know, try to damage other people's stuff? And, you know, after seeing how easy it is to fix and just talking about, and again, each session was a little bit different, but after talking about the fact that it just doesn't happen, I know it's a fear, but, you know, I never had someone try to maliciously alter someone else's work, but, so we went through the wiki. After that, we went through the blog. And this is my first year with having each kid have a blog. And so I showed some examples from other teachers. Actually, I don't know if I did that in both sessions, but I showed my daughters. My daughter started a blog this summer, which also then ended once school started and homework started, but that's another issue, all the homework in elementary schools that I'm not going to get into here. And I think that was probably the best thing I did, because on her blog, there's pictures of herself. And on her blog, it says, you know, yesterday I went to the beach. You know, yesterday I was at a birthday party with my friend. And I decided not to bring up the security issue until someone else in the room brought it up. And I'm pretty sure with both groups, that's the piece that made security come to the forefront. And people were concerned, or were asking me, you know, should I be concerned for my child's safety? And I think this was like the icebreaker of the night. Up until this point, you know, both groups were kind of stiff, and because we weren't doing a lot of talking, it was me just being a talking head in the front of the room, which everyone knows how effective that is. And this was the thing that really opened up the night and had people start asking a lot of questions. So I went through all the different ways in which trying to keep the kids safe, and even went through some stats. And just what are the real numbers? You know, there's the perceived danger the media puts out there, and then what are the real numbers? We talked about how, you know, the kids are getting gender-neutral usernames. the policy regarding pictures and real names on the wiki and the blog, how it's being addressed on an ongoing basis. We talked about how, you know, while no system is perfect, it is important the kids get in here and learn this culture. I told them about my conversations with, I had conversations with two law enforcement agencies. I had a conversation over the summer with the investigator from the general attorney's office about, you know, can they find any flaws in what I'm doing, and am I endangering kids in any way? I reflected on those conversations. Talked about, and this is the one thing that I think is, I don't know if it's effective. I know it hasn't been effective with people I was talking with quickly over the summer, but, you know, I was reading the statistics, and I might be off by a percentage point and be rounding up, but essentially, you know, 98% of kids who have had problems with the internet all fall into a certain few categories. And again, I apologize, I don't have it in front of me, so I apologize if I'm going to be wrong, but I think the point will still be the same. And essentially, if you're from a household that has drug abuse problems or alcohol abuse problems, if you're from a household in which your kid stays up incredibly late at night on sex chat rooms and has made several trips, unknown, you know, your kid is off somewhere meeting someone that you don't know who it is, that's 98% of the kids who have ever gotten in trouble with the internet. There is one report that I saw that nobody can find a case in the United States where someone was stalked on the internet and got in trouble based on something they wrote or a picture. Not like a bullying sort of thing, but, you know, if I put a picture of myself up on the internet, there's never been a case of someone from Indiana seeing my picture and coming and getting me because of that picture. There, and again, most of the time when kids do get in trouble, not most, I guess all, there's already been free, that's not the word I want to use, the kid has already met with that person several times before, you know, it's become known to the law enforcement agency. I know that even there was a case in Connecticut in which someone was just, the court case, you know, someone had online MySpace found a girl in Connecticut, and, you know, they had arranged to meet, but, you know, it's not a stalking deal. It's the girl had said, okay, I will go and meet with you, knowing who the person was. And, you know, the other thing I read in there was that the kids, when they do agree to meet online, know who the people are. It's not like, you know, we think it's this 60-year-old, dirty old man pretending he's 14, when that's not usually the case. But anyway, I digress again. The other example I gave is, and in testing out, I was trying to look for an analogy in testing this out. Some people liked it and some people hated it. I used it, and I actually had a few parents write or come up after the meeting and say it was a good analogy. I said it's kind of like, you know, when everyone's growing up, again, at least in this area, you generally send your kids to some kind of swim lessons. And, boy, I wish I remember exactly what I said. It's not coming to me right now. But you send your kids to swim lessons. And it's not because, you know, when you send your kid to swim lessons, they're learning the ways of the water. That's not a good way of putting it, but they're learning how to swim with someone who has experience, is a role model, and is going to go out of their way to keep them safe. Now, you do that because you know that every time your kid is going to go swimming in the future, they might be with a lifeguard, but eventually they're going to be swimming on their own, and you want to make sure that they're not going to drown. And so I said it's kind of similar to that. You know, I'm kind of the lifeguard. I get to look after them. I get to role model. If somebody has a problem, I'm there to help immediately. Everyone is being, it's not like I'm just dropping them off at a lake and letting them swim. They are being monitored. And the analogy seemed to go over pretty well, I think. We'll find out. All right. At this point, that was probably almost an hour. And I can't even believe I'm looking at my recorder. That's 25 minutes of talking about it. But that lasted about an hour or so. And it was time to talk about the podcast. I think in one group, I just kind of blew over and said, you know, here's the 30-second definition of it. I think in the other group, I showed them an example, but I didn't spend enough time to really give them any real understanding of it. After that, I just quickly, and again, with one group, this was really fast. Another group, I don't even know if I really got to it, besides just mentioning it quickly. We got to some of the work that we're going to be doing this year using the tools. I think one of the highlights is that this year we're working with Old Sturbridge Village Living History Museum in New England and setting up their podcasting page and going up and doing recording of their costumed interpreters speaking about whatever they're, you know, like role-playing 19th century folks. And there's doing something with a group in Kansas. Ginger, if you're listening, I'll get back to you. I know I disappeared for a while. I'll get back to you. Still interested. And then I'm doing something with a teacher in Guilford, which there's no real details planned out yet. Curious to see how it goes. We'll be working with a third grade in another town in Connecticut on a Native American unit. And so that will be kind of neat, I think, to work with the younger kids. There's some other smaller things that we're doing that are just our class. We're doing every year I do a Who's Your Hero unit from 19th century, and we create a web page for our hero. And the other thing we're taking part in this year, that's, if you haven't heard about it, it's called One Web Day, and we'll be doing some activity for that. I think that's it. That basically wrapped up the meeting. And, you know, there's a, I think for me, the best part of both nights, or both meetings, was the last half hour to 40 minutes. And that's when just people really, I think, started to feel more comfortable and got a lot of the questions off their chest that they might have been carrying with them. And hopefully I did not get defensive and I was able to stay cool. But, you know, it's almost like I felt like I wish I could have another meeting the next night where everyone could have digested all this material and then come back with all the additional questions. 'Cause I know it took me 3 years to get on the bandwagon. So to try to convince someone in an hour, this is the thing to do, I think it's really hard. And you know, I'm a teacher and I was reading all this stuff on these things, and again, it took me, less than 2 years of just reading about it and messing with it and experimenting on my own, and you know, another half year or so before I decided to go full throttle with it in the classroom. But I think I'm going to leave you with that. The next podcast that I want to do, hopefully, will be directly on our experience starting the year. And I'm going to try to keep it to, again, a nuts and bolts podcast, leave out all my commentary, but just on how to sign up 100 kids for a wiki, get 100 kids on blogs, what I did, what I would do differently, having done it in mass for the first time. Even last year when I started with the wiki space, I didn't do 100 kids at once. It was one class at a time, and even then it was just one part of each class at a time, and slowly more kids came onto it. This year I'll go over why I decided to do 100 kids all at once in the first week of school, and how that worked out. So I hope that there's something in here that you can use, especially if you are a teacher who is considering to do this sort of thing. Feel free to contact me. You can do it through Podomatic.com. You can find me there, Turkey Crossing. Otherwise, my email is pbogush, B-O-G-U-S-H, at wallingford.k12.ct.us. And again, you can look at this at the presentation that I did at www.morecowbell.wikispaces.com, which, by the way, there was one parent who got the more cowbell joke. I hope somebody out there does, and not just thinking I randomly picked cowbell, but there's a little story behind more cowbell. And again, feel free, especially if you're a teacher who's considering using this stuff. I think having just gone through this with the parents and the kids, even though I'm not one of the more experienced people out there that's doing podcasts on this sort of thing, some of my wounds are fresh, and some of the big changes I'll be doing are fresh in my head, and I've been thinking about them a lot. But again, if you've made it this far, thank you very much for listening. And hey, go back to iTunes or Podomatic or my email and leave me a comment, suggestion, some constructive criticism, whatever you'd like to leave. Let me know you're listening. Boy, this sucker's a long one, huh? If you made it this far, I'll give you a gold star next time I meet you. All right, hey, thank you very much for listening. This is Paul Bogush on the podcast that for some reason is called Turkey Crossing. And thanks you very much for stopping by. Did I just say thank you? Thank you very much for stopping by and listening. I really appreciate it. Bye-bye.